Today I'd like to share God's word on representing and speaking for God. Representing and speaking for God, which I think is an important topic. Hey, let me see here. You know, Joe taught last night. He taught a lot of wonderful things about how people serve, how leaders serve and love. And we also heard about motivating people and doing things out of the love of God. And I would just like to say something here. You know, I don't live here in Atlanta, but I came from another state like many of us, and we came here. And I just want to give a shout out to the Atlanta believers who did so much to put all this on. How about a big round of applause? We all walked in love here, and the people who put this on walked in love, and we heard teachings about that and serving and all that kind of stuff, but we also saw a really great example of that by the people who put this on. So that's really good. Hey, there was a lot of talk up here, you know, on the stage about people dunking a basketball. Do you remember that? I would just like to say that I have dunked a basketball. That's right. Thank you. At our house in New Jersey, we had an adjustable net. And I got great pleasure in doing that. But now I live in Florida, so. You know, many years ago when we had these advances, we would talk about a mountaintop experience. And here we are on Stone Mountain, and some of you guys who climbed way up there, you got a big mountaintop experience. But here we are, we've been up on the mountain, but now we're going to go back in the valley of human need. And there's a lot of needs out there. It's there's a lot of needs, and we're gonna go back. And, you know, we can take what we learned here this weekend and take it back and just do a lot of wonderful things for God. You know, recently there have been a few people in Florida come up to me and say, you know, the world is really negative. And they were bummed out about it. But, you know, in that context, what they wanted help. There's people out there that really want help with God and His Word. And man, we've been taught a lot of stuff, and it is so exciting. How many of you guys like to cook? You guys like to cook, a lot of people. Man, when you cook some food and all that, and people come over and they eat it, and wow, this is great. Where did you get the recipe? Can I have this? That's really a blessing. We've heard so much Bible, and man, even better than cooking good food is when you feed God's word to people, and man, it is so exciting and so thrilling. So we're going to go back into the world, and how are we going to deal with it? Well, we can go back, and you know, we don't want to be distracted. We want to go back, and we want to kick some butt. And yeah, the world is negative. We can go back and we can get all wrapped up in the negatives, or we can go back and really help folks with God's word. Jerry talked last night about the world being dark or something like that, but he talked about what a wonderful opportunity it is to speak God's word. Man, people are starving out there. You know, when we moved to Florida, we found out that people had been praying for a leader to come and help them. Wow, that was like, wow, that was so cool, because whatever happened, I guess we were answered prayer in those people's lives. Man, there's people out there in the world that are praying for help, that want help, that need help, that are praying for God to help them. And man, a lot of us have been into God's word a long time, and whether you've been in for 20 years, 50 years, or 2 weeks, we have a lot of stuff that we can help people like that. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 4, please. 2 Corinthians 4. How many of you have dunked a basketball? Raise your hand. Good. I'm part of that crowd. 2 Corinthians 4, please. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 4, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should what?
Shine."
Yeah, the world is dark, man. No wonder. The devil is in charge, you know. But, man, we have the privilege of going back and representing God and speaking his word. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 5. So we're going to get into today representing God and speaking for God. Let's take a look here at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter 5, 7. It says, "Casting all your care on him," because why?
He cares for you.
"Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." So, it's a spiritual world. How are we going to resist the devil? How are we going to resist him? Well, take kung fu lessons?
No.
Become a santero?
No.
That's not a good idea. How are we going to do it? Lift weights? Maybe we should read verse 9. It says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." So we're supposed to believe God's word, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It's a spiritual world. But how are we going to resist the adversary? We should believe God's word accurately and kick some butt. Patty taught about say no. Say no to the adversary, but say yes to God and his word and take a stand. And that is really great. Jesus Christ said, "I am come that they might have life." And what's the rest of the verse? Now, that was at a time of great prosperity where everybody had a Ferrari and an airplane.
No.
The Romans, they weren't very nice at all, were they?
No.
They weren't nice folks, and they had that whole area under their thumb. But Jesus Christ said, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." So, the abundant life is not dependent so much on the stuff around us. It's dependent on God's promise to us when we believe. Look at John chapter 16, please. John 16. Jerry taught about accepting what God has given us. Accepting. John 16. John chapter 16 and in verse 32. It says, "Behold, the hour comes, yea, it now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have what?
Overcome
the world." How many of you are football fans in here? How many of you are soccer fans in here? All right, that's pretty good. So say your team is going to playing in the Super Bowl, and there's a Falcon fan and some Giant fans, and so your team is in the Super Bowl, and your team wins, and at your job, say the Falcons win, and they're playing the New York Giants, and they win. So the next day you go to work, and you're a Falcon fan, and there's some New York Giant or somebody else over there. You won, and the people You walk in there and they bow down to you. You know, you don't have to say anything. You know why? You won. You won. Or maybe you're a soccer fan and maybe Venezuela is playing Peru. Oh. And there's that guy at your job, the Peruvian, and he's going, we're going to beat you. But the next day, that Peruvian, because the Venezuelans have won, he takes you out to lunch. He takes you to a nice Italian restaurant, in fact. Why? Because he knows he lost. So you enjoy it. You know why? Because you won. Now, did you really win? Did you play in that game? No. You don't, you know, you're not all bruised because of all the tackling, but you won. Somebody won it for you. Jesus Christ won it for us, and we ought to enjoy it. Go to work the next day. Hey, I'm a victor because Jesus Christ won. He overcame the world. That's how we should go back in the job, in our families, in whatever. We won. And as Jerry was teaching, we should accept what he accomplished. And that is really great. We're victors. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. You know, there's stuff in the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 18, 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what?
Eternal.
Eternal. We don't have to go back and concentrate on all the negative stuff, but we have so much of God's word in our brain. We can look at the world as God looks at it. We can see our life as God sees us and see the outreach of the word. Look at Psalm 34, please. Psalm 34. We're victors. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 4. It says, "I sought the Lord and he what?
Heard me.
He heard me. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my what?
Fears."
Yeah, we have deliverance from fear. Up here it says something about freedom. When we have fear in our life, we're not free, are we? "He delivered me from all my fears." Verse 5, "They looked unto him and were enlightened," or "they looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed." They looked unto him and were radiant. When we look unto God, we're radiant. When we look at the world, we're not so radiant. But when we look unto God, we're radiant. And that is a really good thing. You know, the moon. You guys like the moon? The moon has two sides, doesn't it? There's the bright side of the moon, and then there's the dark side of the moon. Have you been to the dark side? Don't answer that. No. But you know, the bright side of the moon, it shines because it looks at the sun. The dark side of the moon doesn't shine at all, but it's dark because it looks at darkness. So we're radiant when we look at God and his word, and we can shine. We can represent God because we look at him. Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew 5. We heard a song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." Matthew chapter 5. In verse 14, it says, You are the light of the world. A city that set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, we can represent God and His Word. We can shine His lights. When people look at us, they can see God's working in us, which is really, really great. You know, sometimes I think about a fellowship like a campfire. It's nice and warm, there's light, and people come out of the cold and they go over there and they get nice and warm. People in the world, they need God's love, they need God's word, and we could give it to them. You know, how many of you have been camping before? You know, it's about 11 or 12 o'clock at night. How do you put out the campfire? Well, there's a few different ways to do it, and some of them I don't want to discuss right now. But some of you might know what I'm talking about because you're kind of laughing in a weird way. But you know, one way to put out the campfire is to take the logs and separate them. Take the logs and separate them. And you know, that's what's happened in the world with believers sometimes, isn't it? People are all separate. Well, this guy doesn't like that guy or whatever. And then people have been separate. And it's really cool here. So many people have come from so many different places. And, you know, it's really great here, which is really, really good. So it's really great to keep the fire going. One way to build the fire back up is to take those logs and put them together, and then it gets hot again. So let your light shine. John chapter, let's take a look. John chapter 13, please. John 13. We represent God and we speak for God. John 13. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have what?
Love
one to another. That's how people are going to know. They might not know, you know, all about us, but you know, there's something about that guy Dylan. Boy, he's got something in his life that I want. Or there's something about her son that I want. Man, we can love people and bring that out of people. Maybe not everybody loves us right away, but we can love. And that is a tremendous thing. We can represent God. You can represent God in your life. You can speak for God when we talk about His Word. And man, the people in the world, they need God and His Word. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's not a fake love. We represent God and His Word. When you walk into the room, spiritual light is in there. It's the Christ in you. 2 Corinthians 3, please. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 2. 2 Corinthians 3 and in verse 2. It says, you are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all what?
Men.
So you know, people read us before they read the book. People read us before they read the book. And when we go in there and we're blessed, we're walking with God, man, people can see that in our life, which is really, really great. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, please. We represent God. Maybe we can't change what's going on in communist China or what's going on in the world in various places. We can sure pray for different things in the world, you know, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2. But we can sure change things in our neighborhood. The word over the world starts in our neighborhood, which is really good. Hey, we have a fellowship in Bolivia, don't we? We do have a fellowship. You guys know Lissa Scott? Is Lissa in here? No, right? You know, many years ago, Lissa Scott worked in a hospital, and she witnessed to a Bolivian lady. And this Bolivian lady is Cammie's mother. And this Bolivian lady went back to Bolivia, and she spoke the word to her family back there. And then she was in a store, right? And she spoke to Juliana's mother. So in a hospital office in Paterson, New Jersey, somebody heard God's word, and now we have believers in Bolivia. How cool is that? It's very cool. A lot of people here from Venezuela. You know, people from Venezuela, somebody went there, Milagros and other people, and look what happened. And now people come back here, and they're helping us and all that kind of stuff. My wife was an ambassador, and she went to Chile and moved God's word down there. So, you know, we have an effect. We might not live in China, but you know, what we do in our neighborhood has an effect in all around the world, and it's a really powerful thing. How about, there was a few people from New Jersey that came to Atlanta. How many people was it? 12? 14? What? 14 people came from New Jersey here, and look what happened here. So we gotta see our lives so much bigger. We have fellowships in many different countries around the world because God's word has moved. And the adversary wants us not to believe who we are, that we don't have an effect. Is that right, Nubia? We have a lot of people in Bolivia because of that lady over there. And you be nice to her, otherwise she's gonna hit you with that cane. Maybe that's fear, I'm not sure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 5, it says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power." Hey, we talked about power. It wasn't in word only, but in power. "In the Holy Ghost and much assurance," the manifestations. They knew it. They knew it was true. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power." Some of you guys have been healed this weekend. That's pretty cool. "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." They represented God and his word, and people saw it in their life. "And you became followers of us." They followed Paul and his buddies that were there. They became followers of us and of the Lord. They followed what Paul was doing and his buddies there, and they led them to God and his word. The same is true today. When we walk for God, when we walk by the manifestations, when we walk in love, people follow us. And then you know what? We lead them to the Lord. And that's a big deal. And we got to believe that about ourselves. "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples." They saw them. "To all them that believe in Macedonia and Achaia," all over Greece. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia in Greece, but in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so we need not to speak anything." Thessalonica was a big town, and people came there from different places. they would go there and they would get witnessed to, and they would go back to other places in Greece. Or maybe somebody from Thessalonica was there, they'd go to other places, and that's how God's word spread. And that's exactly how it's doing today. We got to see a big picture. Word over the world starts in our neighborhood. And each one of us in here plays a big, important part. We can walk by the manifestations. We can walk in love. We can speak God's word. We can represent God, and we can speak for God. That's a big deal. That's a really, really big deal. We don't want to misrepresent God. We want to represent God. Right now, there's a certain denomination in the United States, and they're having a big powwow. And you know, one of the topics of the powwow is, can the leaders of this denomination, can they bless same-sex unions? And they're talking about that, and they want to bless same-sex unions because they want more people in the church and be more inclusive. That's not representing God at all, is it? That's misrepresenting God. We don't want to compromise God's word for people. We want to speak God's word that brings deliverance in people's life. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 5, please. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5 and in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of what? Hey, believers have a ministry, and you know what that is? The ministry of reconciliation. It's our job, our responsibility, our privilege to speak God's word to people, to help people with God's word. You know, one of the greatest things, you know, you can have in your life is a passion for the outreach of God's word. And I know some of you have it. Man, to have a passion to help people with God's word. Man, that's something that can just keep you going, and you reach out to people, and it's just a really exciting thing. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We also have in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We can bring people back to God. We can heal people, deliver them, and that is very exciting. You know, when my wife and I moved to Florida, I had, you know, some goals I thought that we could maybe do or something. One thing we wanted to do was have a fellowship in the house, and that was something. And then we wanted to see the believers down there and see who we could help. Another thing we wanted to do was travel around Florida and help the believers there. You know, for a while, my wife and I in the fellowship in the house, it really didn't grow very much at all. And it was a little frustrating, a little, you know, depressing's not the word, but it was frustrating. And I think many of us have gone through that, where you speak the word and, you know, you try to help people, then they don't. You know, one of the things that if you try that and then people don't come, it's easy then to not try to plant any seeds. You know, if you're a farmer and you don't get a good crop, if the next year you decide not to plant any seeds at all, are you going to get a big crop? You might be a little hungry, might have to go to McDonald's. You know, but we just speak the word, and we're a success when we speak or not. So we spoke a lot, and people would come, and, you know, I think some people went back to church. I don't know what happened, but, you know, people would come, but they wouldn't stick around that much, and now we have a whole lot of folks. And some of the people that we spoke the word to, now they're coming around. It's our job just to plant the seed and not get discouraged. But you know, if all of us go and we plant the seeds and we want to help people, man, And you know, you learn better if you learn to take care of five people, then you learn to take care of five, and then you can take care of 10 and whatever. And that's a really great thing in our life. So we have the ministry of reconciliation, and we want to take God's word over the world. Hey, you know, this was a weekend about being free, isn't it? You know, if you're free, you can be free to love, can't you? And if there's a person, you don't know if they're going to love you, but if you're free, you're free to reach out to them. You're free to help them. You're free to speak God's word to them. You don't care. What you want to do is do God's word with them. Freedom. Freedom to act. Freedom to love. Freedom to walk and represent God. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 20 it says, "Now then we are what?
Ambassadors
for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." You know, an ambassador speaks for God. An ambassador represents God, an ambassador in this country. Patty talked about diplomatic immunity. We're not of this world. If you're not of the world, then, you know, we don't have to go by the rules. We can be free. We can love. We can help folks. So, you know, we represent God. We speak for God. We come from a different place. We're seated in the heavenlies, and we can share the good things about where we're from with other people in the world. We represent God, and we speak for God, and we don't have to get caught up in the world we're in, but we can use what we, you know, from where we came from. And that is really important. Hey, you know, politics can be divisive, can it? You know, if you're a Democrat, be a Democrat, if that's what you like. If you're a Republican and you want to be a Republican, you could be a Republican. That's the end of the teaching. Goodbye. So be a Democrat. But you know what? Even better than that, why don't we all learn to take the affairs of life and line it up with the scripture? That's even better. You know, Republican, Democrat, Independent. If that's what you want to be that. But even better, be a believer first. Represent God and His Word more than the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or whatever it is. Be a believer. Take the stuff back. Represent God and His Word. You know, the mystery is bigger than culture. It's bigger than language. It's bigger than race. It's bigger than all that stuff. And understanding the mystery brings people together in light of God's word. And we know the mystery and we can share it. One of the greatest things about this advance is this is great in here, but you know, there's three other programs over there with little kids. We're passing God's word on to the next generation. And that is so important. We've been taught God's word like it hasn't been known since the first century church. And man, you and I are super important to this world, and it is a big deal. So you know what? We're to represent Him in our lives. We're to let our light shine. We're to be living epistles known and read of all men. We can walk and we can follow God. And then when people follow us, we can lead them to God. We're to be examples. We're to be models. We're to speak for God. We can sound out God's word in the different places, in our neighborhoods where we live. We have boldness to speak. We have freedom to love. We have freedom to walk with God and all these different things. We can be a part of the problem or we could be a part of the solution. And the solution is that we can stand for God. We can let our light shine in our communities. We can walk with God and operate nine manifestations. Say no to the world, like Patty taught. Say no, but say yes to God and His Word. And we can make a giant difference. We can grow with God. Rekindle or develop or hold on to a passion for the outreach of God's Word. What's our job in life? Our privilege, our responsibility is to be able to hold on to God's Word and to speak it. You know, like I opened the teaching, there's people out there that are praying for help. There's people out there that are waiting for God to do something in their life. They pray every night for God's help. Honestly, there's nobody in the world, I don't think, who know God's Word like you and I, like believers who've been taught. So people are praying out there for people like us. We represent God. We can speak for God. And let's take God's Word over the world. Say no to the adversary and say yes to God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for your great love and care for us. Thank you for taking care of us and providing for all of our needs. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right? Thank you.